This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With AllTrails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I got up really, really early this morning to appear on Monica Adams' show. She does it on several platforms, on YouTube, on the X, formerly Twitter, on Facebook. And she does a daily show, and she invited me to come on and talk about mental health and the challenges that I've had over the course of this summer. I've talked about a little bit here on the show, but I don't want to overdo it. But if you are interested in that conversation, that's pretty much the sole focus, which took place at 7:15 this morning. I put it on the top of my Twitter feed. So if you go to at Mark Reardon KFTK, you can link to it. I also put it on my Facebook page. So if you're interested in that, I'm getting good feedback from listeners, and it was great
to
share the story. And I felt good about sharing the story as well, which is, you kind of never know. You know, because I've talked about this in these terms, you know that over the course of my last 11 years, because I experienced some of this with anxiety in 2013 and 2014, I've spoken very candidly about it. I remember, like, when Simone Biles was going through issues, I was very empathetic to that because of my mental health struggles. But I've never really talked about it, like, in the moment when it was happening, right? Until now. Although now I'm, you know, like, a million times better than I was even just a few weeks ago. But that conversation is up there, and it's living on the World Wide Web if you want to check it out. Of course, one of the big stories yesterday was President Trump. Our own Will Scharf, we say our own, he's a Missouri guy. He's the executive order guy, having the president, you know, put something other than the auto pen to the executive orders. And one of the ones that got the most attention yesterday was on flag burning.
When you burn the American flag, it incites riots at levels that we've never seen before. People go crazy. In a way, both ways. There are some that are going crazy for doing it. There are others that are angry about them doing it. And what the penalty is going to be, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail, no early exits, no nothing.
So it might be an uncomfortable and unpopular position, but I have forever, I don't ever remember being someone who was against flag burning. Now, let me put that into context. I think it's despicable. I think it's reprehensible. But I do think that it is a First Amendment free speech issue. We're going to find out from our expert whether or not I'm correct on that, and whether or not I think this executive order is a bit nuanced on that issue. Ilya Shapiro, senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute, is back with us. Hello, Ilya. How are you this afternoon? Oh, I didn't press you in, did I? There we go. The host forgot to press the button.
I'm doing all right, Mark. I heard what you said. I'm on my annual tour of South Carolina, where I talk to them about what happened at the court last year and what's going on next year and all the cities here. But look, I don't think this is the president trying to unilaterally overturn the Supreme Court opinion where famously Justice Scalia said, "I'm not a king. Mm-hmm. I hate flag burning. I would outlaw it, but it's protected by the First Amendment." He's not trying to overturn that case, or even, as some have suggested, set up a test case to push the Supreme Court to overturn it. I think it's both more and less than that. That is, it's a political messaging thing. It's a wedge issue, daring his opponents, daring Democrats to burn flags or attack him for protecting the flag. It's a winning political issue. But also, the way that it's written, it's not simply like what he just said, what you just played, that flag burning is now a federal crime where it wasn't before. The way that the executive order is written, it looks at, is there an incitement of violence? And there's
yes.
Supreme Court jurisprudence about what that means. Is it something next to federal facilities? Is it endangering federal officers? There tries to be jurisdictional hooks here. Now, that doesn't necessarily get the administration out of the woods. So, for example, if two people who are committing the same crime, one of whom is charged only because of that person's viewpoint, in this case, the viewpoint of burning the flag, that can be problematic. We saw that during the Black Lives Matter riots, when people who were chalking Black preborn lives matter were arrested and everyone else was not. And they were let off because that was selective prosecution. But again, this is a political messaging thing and also tries to get the federal jurisdictional hooks to the largest extent possible.
Yeah, and I agree with that. The way that I explained this in my non-lawyer speak, and you see if this matches up a little bit, it didn't sound to me when reading through the order or hearing Will describe it yesterday that he's saying if you go out tonight and you're on your front porch and you burn the flag in your yard that you're going to be spending a year in jail. But if you do something along those lines and there's an incitement to violence, that then, and we know that there are limits to free speech. We've, you know, the most famous one would be yelling fire in a crowded theater, right? So is this sort of nuanced along those lines where if you burn a flag, you're probably going to still have free speech, you know, rights to fall back on. However, if it takes it to the next level with incitement of violence, then we're talking about something different.
It also depends because simply inciting violence doesn't necessarily become a federal crime either. There has to be a further federal nexus of some kind. And just to correct you, yelling fire in a crowded theater, this is one of the biggest misnomers in constitutional law.
Okay, good. Yes, correct me. Yes, yes, yes.
That's not necessarily illegal or unprotected speech. For example, if there actually is a fire in a crowded theater, you can yell fire without problem. If you're the only person or there's very few people in, well, that wouldn't be a crowded theater at that point. But in any event, it's not simply the case that yelling fire in a crowded theater is necessarily unprotected speech. There's lots of other nuance on that.
In this case from 1989, Texas versus Johnson, this had to do with a guy who set fire to a flag outside of the RNC, outside of the convention in Dallas. And there was a demonstration against Republican policies. And he was sentenced to a year in prison and fined $2,000 for violating that Texas law against desecration of a venerated object. So how in these, you know, this era, if you will, in 2025, if a case like that comes before the Supreme Court, is there a different answer?
It really is going to be very fact specific. There could be property damage involved. Like, let's say it's a flag on a federal flagpole that you tear down and burn. That's property damage and vandalism.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you burn the flag on the courthouse steps and do some damage to the marble there. Again, property damage. So they're trying to use those kinds of hooks and just set priorities for federal prosecutors.
But you don't really think then there is something where they're going to be searching out for a case to bring it something that has, you know, standing, as we say, as you lawyers say, to bring it to the court to get Texas versus Johnson overturned. You don't think that that's part of the playbook here?
It could be that they're daring their political opposition to try it.
Yeah.
Zohran Mamdani, the leading candidate for mayor of New York, burn a flag on City Hall or something like that, have him arrested. And, Trump would love to have that kind of fight. But I don't think it's necessarily that they're trying to use this to incite a test case to have the Supreme Court overturn Texas v. Johnson.
Ilya Shapiro is here, senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. Yesterday I had a guest coming on here and we talked about this case that I think you've written an amicus brief for Foote versus Ludlow School Committee. And this deals with a case in Massachusetts where the parents were kind of, you know, overlooked when it came to sharing the gender identity of their own children, right? So explain this case, what it's all about and how you got involved here, Ilya.
There have been a spate of these cases all across the country in the last few years as school districts have gone crazy in the face of radical gender ideology to the point where, as you say, it's they have policies to hide students' gender identity or transitions from their parents, all sorts of things that the challengers in these various lawsuits say violate parental rights. is a violation of certain duties by the school board, things like that. This Foote case out of Massachusetts is the first one to get to the Supreme Court steps. It hasn't been accepted for argument. It's at a cert petition stage. And I filed a brief supporting this case, as I did on appeal below and in other cases across the country. And the briefs that I've been filing with my colleagues John Ketchum and Lior Sapir talk about how social transitioning is a medical intervention in and of itself. It has psychological effect, and it's not justified. Studies of studies show that that we're debating the science here, and all of this is falling apart in various contexts. And so, what the school districts are doing is quite serious. So we're not so much arguing the law, but providing this scientific background.
Some of this stuff that was on even the X, formerly Twitter, today, there was somebody who was posting something from a seventh grade class, Gunston Middle School in Arlington, Virginia. And on the first day of school, there's a questionnaire that says, class period, you have this particular teacher, third period. What is your name as it appears in Power School? Name you want me to call you in class. May I use your class name when I contact caregivers? May I use pronouns when I contact caregivers? May I use these pronouns with other teachers, including substitutes?
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Epic views. Waterfall mists. Summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
If you answered no to any of the above, which pronouns should I use instead? That is a seventh grade class. I have a daughter who just started fifth grade. We're only a couple years away from that. That seems wildly inappropriate for the first day of seventh grade to me.
And I think it goes against Glenn Youngkin's executive order to that effect, as well as certain other policies that have been put in place by the State Board of Education. So I think that's ripe for a lawsuit.
Yeah, what is it about Virginia, like in Loudoun County? We had this other case where these kids, you know, who are boys, and they have a biological girl in their restroom, and the girl's the one that's actually filming them using her phone, which is illegal, but she's not the one that gets in trouble. It's the boys who are questioning, hey, why is there a girl in our locker room? I mean, things in Loudoun County are regularly turned upside down, aren't they?
And then there's a further beat to that, in that there were three boys involved. Two of them were punished, and one was let off because he was Muslim. All sorts of constitutional violations. All sorts of constitutional violations, without even getting to any of the trans stuff.
Wow.
I'm just happy that I'm in Falls Church City, Virginia, which is just as blue, perhaps bluer than these other places. But this is all rich people who don't want their kids to endure shenanigans, and so they pay for the high quality education and stuff like that, so they don't have to be subject to Fairfax and Loudoun and Arlington counties.
What is your messaging in South Carolina? You say you're doing like a little preview of this upcoming session?
Review. Yep.
Yep. Well, that's what we do on a regular basis here on this show. We appreciate your contributions. Thank you, Ilya. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Mark.
Take care. That's Ilya Shapiro, who is with the Manhattan Institute. I wanted to spend a little bit of time here, and I have to thank Megyn Kelly because she did this on her podcast. And some of this, I think, will resonate with you, the listener. And Sue, I think you'll remember this from last week, because there were some moments where we're going to talk about Abby Phillips and what happens on CNN with Scott Jennings and some of the guests. Remember when we had Jillian Michaels' audio from last week? I should have probably had Ethan pull that. So Jillian Michaels is not necessarily known for her Political takes, I don't think, but she was on one of the panels on CNN, and she was talking about some of the Smithsonian changes that have occurred in the past and the way that President Trump and his administration are trying to go in and maybe correct some of the hatred against our own country. So everything at the Smithsonian is framed around race and how bad and how evil this country is as oppressors. And this administration wants to say, and I think it's legitimate, hey, we're about to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our great nation that, you know, everyone looks up to and millions of people want to stream across the border to become non-citizens, I guess, but to take part in the freedoms that we enjoy and probably and likely take for granted on a regular basis. Now, when I've asked Scott Jennings about this in the past, both publicly and privately, I don't think I'm, you know, giving anything away here. He will very confidently say, because he knows that there are people working behind the scenes that don't like him, people at CNN that can't stand what he represents. But Abby Phillips is the host of the show, and they seemingly get along pretty well. The take on Megyn Kelly's podcast from this week is that Abby is trying to do a little bit of an end run herself and trying to put the kibosh on what some of Jennings says. Now, some of it might be because, you know, she's on this left-leaning podcast being asked some of the questions, but here's Megyn talking about this.
Abby Phillip has this, I mean, literally nobody's watching that show. I think it's just us four, just pulling clips. We pulled the ratings. They are dreadful. My God, they're so bad. All of CNN is going away. Trust me, I looked at the numbers today. But in any event, she's there hanging on like the rest of them. And the only thing that's good about her show is sometimes she puts on Scott Jennings and it's fun to watch him fight. And then she had Jillian Michaels on the other day. And Jillian Michaels raised this issue about the Smithsonian. Well, what does Abby Phillip do? She decides to go on an even more terrible person's podcast, Kara Swisher. And she decides to sh all over her guests when speaking to Kara Swisher. These are the people who make the show tolerable for some small faction of Republicans.
Now, I think people certainly are even disadvantaged right here, and I could probably have Ethan pull this audio, but what Jillian Michaels was trying to say on that set, and she was pressed several times, made a whole lot of sense to me. She wasn't trying to say that slavery didn't exist or that slavery wasn't a terrible scar on our nation's history. What she was trying to say is that not every little thing in every part of American history should be framed around the evil oppressors, the white man, right? And I think she effectively communicated that. But here's Abby Phillip talking about this on this other podcast.
And then when it became clear that she was trying to sort of downplay slavery, I was just like shocked. Like, are you really going to do this on national television, giving her an opportunity to not do it? But she continued on. And then later on, she said that she got this list of talking points from the White House about exhibits that they wanted to dispute. And frankly, it was pretty ignorant. I don't like to talk about negatively about guests who come on the show because I just don't think that's good form. Even when I disagree with people, I respect their right to embarrass themselves on national television. I think it is their right to
you
do that.
Respect their right.
So you heard Megyn in the background there. That's Mark Halperin. And then Sean Spicer was on this particular edition as well. So here in God Bless Ethan Hannaford, our great producer, here's what Jillian was saying last week.
He's gone into the Smithsonian. He's effectively now has some random person deciding what is appropriate for the Smithsonian to teach in terms of American history, things that don't offend parts of the MAGA base, right? So we're now literally reviewing parts of American history and parts of American culture to make sure it comports with Dear Leader and what the MAGA organization
can we address some of
totally false, right? So this is where Jillian Michaels starts to get involved here and say, look, that is just not what's happening.
Things that are in there? Because have you looked at some of the things that are being
slavery,
reviewed?
Yeah, slavery was a bad thing that we should talk about.
Okay.
Like, he forgives
me for saying whitewashing slavery. So
he's not?
He's not. No,
okay.
He's not. And you cannot tie imperialism and racism and slavery to just one race, which is pretty much what every single exhibit does. But let's talk about the fact that when you
can't tie
slavery, let's talk about the fact
that slavery in America was.
Do you realize that only less than 2% of white Americans owned slaves?
But it was a system of white supremacy.
You realize that slavery is thousands of years old.
White people were.
Do you know who was the first race to try to end slavery? Well, what's controversial?
So they start shouting at each other at the end. Jennings was on that panel as well that night, and I thought Jillian Phillips actually surprised me. because her take, was she the most eloquently spoken on the panel? No, but let me tell you something.
That's not her job.
I watch Abby Phillip and her panel, a bunch of idiots like Julie Roginski and others that Jennings has to call out on a regular basis. Now, here's what I find interesting, and I have not spoken to Scott about this, but on this same podcast, she kind of goes after Jennings a little bit too here. Listen to this.
Bringing people on to say crazy things. Let's be frank about that. That is never the intention, okay? People's decisions to say crazy things are never expected or predictable. However, I mean, and I know that folks really dislike Scott for his views.
I love this part because, you know, again, I think these two get along. I know he doesn't get along with everyone, but it is Abby's segment. But it's hilarious to hear her talking about crazy things that Scott Jennings might say when she has the most bat blank lefties on her panel that are constantly just eaten alive and smoked by Jennings on a regular basis. But she has to kind of go after him.
But I would say that, you know, there are views that you don't like that you think are unfounded, but that are pretty widely shared. And I think Scott falls into that category. Now, there are definitely times, if you watch the show, that we have conversations where I will say to Scott and others, just stop. Because we're not playing whatever game it is that you want to play in this moment.
Okay, whatever. You just stop. She does say things like that all the time. But, you know, one of the better examples I have from the last week is they are so hungry for moments that they can plaster up on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter and, you know, the Chinese one that TikTok, almost forgot the name of that. And they just can't do it. I referenced this earlier. So you have this guy who's being arrested by ICE a week ago. I think it was like a week ago today or a week ago tomorrow. And there's a reporter from Channel 4 in D.C. and she's out there doing a different story, but she gets all of this on her camera. I don't know if it was an iPhone or if she had a photographer with her. And then she starts shouting out questions at the end. This guy's just screaming, I just want my family. You know, I'm trying to be a better person. All these things screaming in agony. I mean, this guy's going on and on and on. And then when you do a little research, so this starts getting millions and millions of hits with this particular person. You have Jessica Tarloff, who is on The Five on Fox, who is one of the, you know, the moderate lefties, if you will. I don't think she's as crazy as a lot of them. She goes out there and criticizes it and says something along the lines of, well, cruelty is always the, you know, the point here. Are you kidding me? So then we find out that the guy not only had three orders to, you know, remove himself from the country, and at one point did and came back, but he also has a felony charge for endangering the life of a minor under the age of 13 years old. It looks like it's sexual. So Jessica Tarloff has to go on there and apologize. So I'd love to know what Abby Phillip's definition of crazy and crazy talk is, because that's the crazy stuff that the only person exposing it on her show is Scott Jennings.
Got it, Sean. So she needs to apologize for Scott Jennings, because she's heard CNN's audience is overwhelmingly left, that people don't like him and he says crazy things. And, you know, he's such a lunatic, it's worthwhile airing those views because they belong to MAGA.
I think CNN should have taken the whole Scott Jennings thing a step further. I really do. I would love to see what the ratings were. So he has a radio show now. We started airing it last night here on 97.1 FM Talk. You'll hear it tonight at 8 o'clock. He just does an hour on the Salem Network. I think, and I thought maybe they were going to do this, I think they should have given him the damn show at 10 o'clock at night and see what he can do with that show.
I wonder
what the, because the ratings, Megyn Kelly's point is right. The ratings are awful. They're just terrible. Jennings, it has been deemed, spikes the ratings a little bit.
Well,
but
yeah.
Let's say you do something completely different. Oh, they'd freak out Wolf and, you know, Dana Bash and all this. Let's give him the show. He runs the show. He doesn't say stupid crap like Abby Phillip. Then let's see what the...
Get more at 971talk.com.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.